Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take dense, essential information and distill it into clear, actionable knowledge. Today, we're focused on mastering garden flower selection. And this isn't just about, you know, choosing pretty petals. It's about strategically selecting flowers that will not only thrive in your environment, but also perfectly express your personal style.
And we are drawing all of our core insights straight from the experts at Pitgut.
Exactly.
And I have to say, this source material is exceptional. We're pulling foundational steps and some really practical flower profiles today from the bestseller ebooks available exclusively on the Pitgut ebook store.
The goal here is efficiency, right?
It is. It's about giving you the shortcut to becoming truly well-informed about your garden choices without all the trial and error.
For sure. And for those of you who want that comprehensive, detailed knowledge underpinning everything we discussed today, you really need to own these resources. Just visit www.pitgut.com/spawnbooks. You can download these bestsellers right now. They contain the in-depth knowledge that just makes all the difference. Okay, so if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channel and activate that notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. All right, let's set the mission for this deep dive.
Do it.
The core challenge for anyone starting a garden or, you know, trying to improve one is moving beyond wishful thinking. You might love a certain flower, but if it's incompatible with your life or your backyard, it just becomes a source of stress, not joy.
Which is the exact opposite of what gardening should be.
Yeah.
So we need a robust strategy. We'll begin by defining the foundational steps, understanding your environment, and honestly assessing your commitment level. That foundation dictates everything.
Everything.
Then we'll showcase the top 5 beginner-friendly flower profiles recommended by Pitgut. And finally, we'll elevate the discussion a bit. We'll cover the necessary tools and the design mindset that turns a simple patch of dirt into your own personal masterpiece.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before buying a single seed packet, before even deciding on a color palette, you need to do an honest appraisal of your space. So, what are the key environmental factors we need to check? The non-negotiables.
The first, most crucial steps are all about location and commitment. Let's start with location. The big one, obviously, is light levels.
Right.
Is it sunny all day? Does it get shady in the afternoon? That kind of thing. But it goes a bit deeper. You also need to know the basic hardiness zone you live in.
That feels like a step a lot of people skip.
They do. And it's so important. It tells you which plants are annuals, so they live for one season, and which are perennials that will come back reliably every year.
So ignoring your zone is basically just planning for disappointment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's the soil. We're not just talking about dirt. We need to go deeper. The Pitgut sources really emphasize this. You have to figure out if you have rocky, fast-draining soil or dense, heavy clay.
Is there an easy way to do that?
There is. It's a simple soil squeeze test. Grab a handful of moist soil, not wet, but moist. Squeeze it. If it immediately crumbles when you open your hand, that's sandy, loose soil.
Got it.
If it holds its shape like putty or, you know, modeling clay, you got heavy clay soil.
And that one simple test tells you so much. It tells you if you need plants that can handle drought or plants that need constant moisture.
Precisely. You are minimizing the variables that can lead to failure right from the start.
Which links directly to that second foundational step you mentioned, commitment level.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be brutally honest about the time we're ready to invest. The sources make this great distinction between flowers that are, you know, low maintenance and chill.
I like that.
And others that are, well, total divas. They need constant care.
Okay, define diva in garden terms. What does that actually mean day to day?
A diva plant is one that requires frequent intervention.
Mm.
It might need daily deadheading, that's removing the spent blooms to encourage new ones.
Okay.
Or it might need staking to keep its heavy flowers from flopping over. Or weekly fertilizing, special pest monitoring. If you only have 10 minutes a week for the garden, choosing a diva is just setting yourself up to fail.
No judgment, just honesty.
That's it.
That's an essential rule for any successful project.
Right.
Okay, so once we know our environment and our schedule, we can start picking plants that actually fit. And that brings us to the A-team, the high-impact, low-fuss flowers that really build your gardening confidence.
What's so fascinating here is that the Pitgut sources highlight these 5 flowers precisely because they deliver rapid, reliable results. They balance this immense aesthetic appeal with, like, real structural fortitude.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's break down these 5, starting with Cosmos. The sources call them the carefree spirits.
And they absolutely live up to that name. They give you this beautiful, airy color, pinks, whites, deep reds. But the functional feature here is really their height and structure. They can grow up to 4 feet tall, which is I mean, that's impressive for a simple annual.
Oh, wow.
It gives you instant vertical drama in the garden.
And the application is key. If you want arrangements that look whimsical, like straight out of a fairy tale, cosmos are essential. They have that delicate, almost wispy look that adds immediate romance to a bouquet.
Totally. Okay, next up, marigolds. These are absolute powerhouses. The sources call them sunny stunners, and that's spot on.
They're so beginner-friendly and incredibly rewarding. Crucially, they bloom fast, often within 50 days of planting.
That's huge. You get that visual impact almost immediately.
There's more to it, right? The win-win detail.
Yes. This is why they are so vital for a mixed garden. It's their functional purpose. The Pitcot sources confirm they naturally release chemicals from their roots, things called thiophenes, that actively help repel certain pests, like nematodes.
So their natural pest control and vibrant color, all in one plant.
You got it. It's a huge bonus for any new gardener who's trying to keep things organic.
Okay, moving on to plant number three, morning glories.
Morning glories are pure aesthetic payoff for just minimal effort. The focus here is their vining habit. They're perfect for climbing a fence, a mailbox, a simple trellis.
And they create that enchanted look with those amazing blue and lavender flowers.
Exactly. They just efficiently add that vertical texture with very little maintenance.
All right, for those who prioritize nonstop color, the fourth flower, zinnias, is the champion.
Oh, absolutely. The champion of the annual world. They deliver these bold, intense shades, and they last all season long, often blooming right up until the first frost.
But they have a catch.
They have one vulnerability that the source really highlights. They must be watered at the base.
Why is that so important?
If you water from overhead, their dense foliage traps moisture. And that leads directly to common fungal issues like powdery mildew. It's a moldy drama you want to avoid.
Right. So that one small technical tip makes all the difference. Okay, and finally, you can't talk about a summer garden without mentioning the fifth plant.
Sunflowers, the ultimate statement makers.
Iconic.
Totally iconic. They're tall, bright. They just provide this unparalleled structure and immediate joy. If you want a bold, dramatic effect, sunflowers are essential for that classic summer garden feeling.
So when you put it all together, successful flower selection is this beautiful balance. It's the aesthetic appeal, the fairy tale bouquets and bold shades, and the pragmatic needs like speed of bloom or pest control.
Exactly. We're not just picking pretty. We're picking smart plants for smart conditions.
We've picked the stars of the show. Now let's talk gear. We can't achieve these results without the correct tools. And as the sources point out, it's not just about having the tool, but having the right version of it.
That's so true. The Pitcot sources review four essential tools. But, you know, let's start even before the tools. Let's talk about amendments.
Oh.
The most important tool a new gardener has is high-quality compost. If you did that squeeze test and found you have sandy soil, compost adds structure and water retention. If you have clay, compost helps break it up and improves drainage. You have to prep your canvas first.
That's a great point. Improving the soil is often a higher priority than the shears. But okay, once the soil is prepped, what are the four essential implements we need? Let's start with the watering can.
It needs a comfy handle, of course. But the critical feature is a gentle spout, sometimes called a rose.
Why gentle?
That control ensures you aren't just blasting fragile seedlings or washing away your topsoil. You're respecting the plant's structure.
Makes sense. Next, the precision instrument, pruning shears.
Essential. You need them to keep plants tidy, encourage bushier growth, and do that deadheading we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And the sources insist on quality here. They have to feel good in your hand. And ideally, the blade should be carbon steel for a sharp, clean cut.
Because a dull blade can do damage.
It can crush the plant tissue, which leaves it vulnerable to disease.
Third, protection. Gloves. Not optional.
Absolutely not optional. Protecting from thorns, irritating saps, bugs. You need a sturdy pair with a snug fit. Poorly fitting gloves cause blisters and, you know, they reduce your dexterity for fine work.
And finally, the workhorse of the garden, the spade.
Your basic digging buddy. Whether you're planting, transferring soil, or just removing weeds, the spade is foundational. Get one with a comfortable grip and a sturdy connection between the head and the handle.
Okay, so we have the gear. We have the plants matched to the environment. Let's talk design. How do we take these five plants and really maximize their visual impact in the ground?
This is where we start treating the garden like the canvas it really is. And the magic, it happens through strategic contrast, playing with color and with scale.
Okay, give us the specifics. How do we create that visual pop?
For color, don't be afraid to combine bold shades, like the deep reds of some zinnias with very soft pastels or bright whites. If everything is the same uniform shade of pink, it falls flat.
You need that energy.
You do. And for size, pairing tall, structured plants like the sunflowers with low-growing, dense plants like the marigolds, that creates layering. It adds depth and dynamism to your garden bed.
I love that idea that the garden is your canvas, but what about translating your personal vibe into these plant choices? The sources call this your garden, your story.
Right. The garden should be an external manifestation of your desired mood. So if your inner world leans toward peaceful and maybe a little bit overgrown, you're leaning into that cottagecore aesthetic.
And what would that look like?
That means choosing dainty mixed flowers like cosmos and zinnias, planting them densely, mixing heights. You want to minimize the site of bare soil.
Okay, and the opposite, a modern edge.
Then you would opt for fewer plant types. You'd focus on the strong lines of towering sunflowers and maybe plant them in really structured rows for maximum impact.
It's the ultimate form of self-expression, designed and grown by you. And before we wrap up with the philosophical takeaway, just a quick reminder that you can find more amazing content like this deep dive by visiting www.pitcott.com.
If we connect all of this to the bigger picture, the act of gardening, it offers these profound benefits that really transcend the visual results. It's more than just success or failure.
Let's talk about that hard truth the Pitcott sources bring up. Sometimes flowers die even when you did everything right. Sometimes the weeds win. But these aren't failures, they're lessons.
That's the key mindset takeaway right there. Gardening teaches patience, it teaches trust, and most importantly, wonder.
Wonder.
Yeah. You sow a tiny seed into the ground, and every time it successfully sprouts and blooms, it feels like a tiny miracle. And every mistake, well, it teaches you something specific about your little microclimate or your soil.
So in the end, it's really about growing joy. Creating a space that brings you peace and pride and color, regardless of whether you're tending to those low-maintenance plants or accepting the demands of a total diva.
The act of tending is the reward.
That's a beautiful thought to end on.
Dig in, commit to the process, and just let your garden bloom into the best, most beautiful version of you.
So here's a final thought for you to mull over. If your garden is your story, what single plant based on its care needs or its aesthetic best represents the story you are living right now? We hope this deep dive has provided you with the clear foundational steps to master your flower selection. Remember, successful selection starts with knowing your environment and ends with embracing the journey.
We really encourage you to take these insights and apply them. Go on, dig in, and let your garden bloom.
And as we close, please visit www.pitcott.com. Also, press the like button if you love our show. It really helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And finally, please subscribe to our channel if you haven't and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Thank you for being there with us. Thank you for listening to the Pitcott podcast. I will leave a link in the description below.